Hi, team. This episode of the SWTOR Escape podcast is brought to you by Alea Iacta Est. For information on joining our gaming community, please visit aie-guild.org.
Hi, team. Welcome to the Escape podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, we'll look ahead to 2014 and make some predictions, wishes, and mostly wild-ass guesses about what's to come for SWTOR and AIE in SWTOR this year. We'll also have a weekly Galactic Starfighter tip, and maybe in the show notes you'll find a completely unsubstantiated and dangerously inaccurate rumor about the game. As usual, we have a willing and able astromech standing by to record this and circumnavigate the galaxy to make this broadcast available. Hi, EPC 19. Happy New Year. What are the odds of you getting lost in space? Whoa, pal. I'd never tell you the odds. All right. Hi, Seema. How's it going and what have you been up to?
Hey, Max. Well, goodbye to 2013. It's been a good year for me. I mean, I've enjoyed 2013. I don't have that end of the year feeling like, thank God, maybe 2014 will bring something new. But I'm looking forward to 2014 as well. It's been a pretty quiet week for me, SWTOR-wise. We basically took the week off from ops because, you know, reasons having to do with holidays and such. Plus, holidays in general have been taking up a lot of my time. So when I did have a little bit of game time here and there, I just logged in and played around with achievements. I can't decide if I'm going to go planet by planet or just do weirdly random stuff. But today I spent some time on Bel Savis and finished up a few achievements there. I'm not sure I'm going to make those achievements where you have to kill 1,000 of something when I'm only at like 15 right now. I'm not sure I have the wherewithal to kill, you know, 1,000 mobs on Alderaan or something. But we'll see. So I have been doing some reading. I finished The Final Empire, which is the first book of the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I haven't read much fantasy in recent years, and because I ran into a string of ones I really didn't enjoy, so I've kind of felt sort of burned by the genre. But now that I'm getting like these cool recommendations from people, I just feel more confident about doing it. And I jumped in and I really enjoyed this one. The characters are engaging. The story moves right along. It's got enough, you know, good versus evil, but it's not depressingly dank and dark. But there is right. enough, you know, stuff going on that you feel there's challenges to overcome. And it had an ending. I mean, it's the first book of a trilogy, but it didn't have a cliffhanger ending. So I'm definitely going to read book two, and I'm planning on reading book three, providing book two does not betray me.
So Brandon Sanderson, this is definitely on my list because you've recommended it. And Brandon Sanderson is somebody I like from him finishing up The Wheel of Time. What fantasy books burned you out on the genre?
Well, I used to read nothing but science fiction and fantasy. So I just read a string of them that there for a while as a genre got really popular. And then there was just a lot of people writing fantasy books and some of them were just not that good. And mm-hmm. It was long enough ago that I really can't. Did you read the Xanth series by Piers Anthony?
Yeah, some of them.
Yeah. So, you know, not to, you know, I enjoyed the first
it's
one.
Not, and
I,
yeah. I kept, it's not high I kept, literature.
I kept reading those beyond when I should have, you know, I think that, so it is basically stuff like that.
Okay, I got it. Because I think I read one of them cover to cover and went, I see what you're doing here with the puns and that's mildly yeah. amusing. And I'll see you later. Whereas Terry Pratchett, even though he does, you know, puns and goofy stuff and satire, I felt like he's got enough, he had enough strength behind it that I went through almost everything he wrote.
Oh, Terry Pratchett, whole different case. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's about it for me. Yeah, that was my week. Achievements, reading, and of course the holidays, family, friends, all that stuff. There might have been some alcohol here and there.
Well, picking up where you left off, same family, friends, kids, hanging out with my kids, watching some movies. We watched White Christmas. We watched...
I love that movie.
What else did we watch?
Did Elf. You watch Holiday Inn?
No, I sometimes save Holiday Inn for either New Year's or Easter, you know, or later in the year, whatever they do, St. Patrick's Day, or because you could throw it in as a holiday movie at Thanksgiving, you know, the other ones they do, which is sort of cool. But we also did Polar Express. So my girls really like Polar Express as a sort of more modern classic. So that's
interesting.
Fun one.
You know, I never did see Polar Express. Maybe I'll check it out.
Oh yeah, it's a good one. I appreciate it too. And Tom Hanks just does a great job with the voice in that movie. And then moving on to books, I'm continuing to read Throne of the Crescent Moon by Saladin Ahmed. I'm actually listening to that on Audible. But I got two books from my kids for Christmas. I got 2312 by Kim Stanley Robinson, which I talked about before, that I wanted to definitely read that. And I got The Killing Moon by N.K. Jemisin, which is book one of The Dream Blood. I think I had a list. They know what I was going after, but I think both of these were Hugo Award nominees for 2013, which is why they were on my list.
You know, not that I wasn't hanging on your every word, but I noticed that Polar Express is streaming on Netflix, so... Maybe I'll add that to my queue.
There will be a quiz about the literature that I will be reading. Well, actually, that's good to know. If it's streaming on Netflix, it gets a double plus in my book. I hardly watch anything that's not on Netflix these days. So, yeah, I'd recommend it. Pick it up.
Cool.
Put it in your queue. What else have I been doing? A lot of Starfighter. So
no way.
Makia is a starfighting madman, and every night, you know, about 8 o'clock, he's putting the broadcasts out. Hey, get in here. Where are you at? Everybody, get in here. Form up a group. We got to go starfight. Imperial side first, then Republic. Get the dailies done. And then it's like until 1 o'clock in the morning. By the end, my eyes are bleeding, and I'm like, oh, yeah, please. And all night, people will like come in and out of our foreman. You can only have a group of four. And every time someone leaves, I mean, we could have been doing it for like 5 hours, and someone leaves, Maki will go, all right.
If you have to, you can go. You're dismissed.
I had to work this morning, and it was like 11:30, and he's like, fine. You can't do that when every person leaves. But anyway, I'm up to 232 matches, 71% on the medal achievements. I still have zero demolisher or siege medals, but we looked those up. So Delphi has a list of what every achievement actually is. And demolisher and siege are for respectively destroying 8 and 12 turrets. So I'm going to have to just focus on that, either getting a scout, which is really good for that, or getting a gunship and just from range start picking off turrets. But it has to be in a losing match. Because there has to be turrets on the enemies. The enemy has to control the satellites for them to
get turrets. Or else there won't be any turrets to kill.
Right. So I think that's mostly the problem. We just have no turrets to kill because we are so...
You're just too good.
Too good. Either that or I keep blowing up because I go try to kill a turret the wrong way.
Because you need more missiles.
My missiles are legendary. Speaking of legendary... I am legendary with
that is
Oricon
quite the segue.
Did you like that?
Yes, I did.
I am legendary with Oricon. I finished that up this week. So I parked both of my tunes on Oricon for Galactic Starfighter every night. You can pick up the PvP missions on Oricon. You can pick them up on Makeb. And sometimes you load faster when you're on Oricon than when you're in the middle of the fleet with all those people standing around and you got to load all their armor and textures. And because we're getting out of the match and Maki wants to queue right away, it's easier to go someplace that has a faster load screen. So I go on Oricon. But then while in between, I'm just picking off a couple of the dailies on a couple characters, finished my rep there, and then I'll go over to CZ, and I'm only a hero on CZ, so I'm not even champion yet. I got work to do on CZ.
Oh, you're such a slacker.
Still. I know. And last thing was I did get a Razer Hex, a Razer Naga Hex mouse over the holidays. I thought, this is going to make me awesome at Galactic Starfighter. Well, turns out it's not so much the mouse as it is the player. But I don't like it so much. I unplugged it today. I used it for about 4 days, really gave it a shot. I do like the profiles, being able to switch back and forth, and I bound the profile switching to a button so you can make the mouse less sensitive. So when I get into Starfighter, I drop the sensitivity so the mouse doesn't move as far because you really are focused in the center of the screen. And then I bump up the sensitivity because I have two monitors and I don't want to be like moving my arm, you know, right, 4 feet to get over to the second monitor when I'm not in a match. So you can click a button and switch between the sensitivity, which is cool. But I went back to my Logitech G700 wireless mouse and I'm just as accurate, if not more, and the wireless on this mouse is spectacular. It must be because I don't really notice any lag time.
I was just going to say, it must be.
Yeah, it's good. And I have creepily long, awkward fingers just to describe my hands properly. So all these mouses, like 95% of the mice that are manufactured today are like getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm like, you got to like hold it with two fingers. I do not know. The craziest one is the Microsoft mouse that's come out for the Surface. What do they call it? It's a touch mouse, and it's the wedge mouse. That's what it's called. And if you ever look at this thing, it has no part of the palm. It's just a wedge that faces down away from you that you hold between like your ring finger and your thumb. And you use your index finger to swipe and touch the surface of the wedge. And that's how you use the mouse. And I'm like getting claw hand on my left hand while my right hand, while my left hand is getting claw hand from poking the keys in that weird way for Starfighter, that I just went back to my giant G700. The only other mouse that I think might work that I'm going to potentially take a look at, although it's a huge chunk of change, is the Razer Ouroboros, which has all these, it looks like a transformer. It like slides open and different things snap on the sides to make it sort of like a big clod of a giant mouse if you need it to be for your awkwardly distorted hands.
It looks like an Imperial mouse. I'm looking at a picture of one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see. I may give that a try. But I'm comfortable with the G700 and it works pretty well. And I didn't really use the extra buttons on the Hex. Maybe I could have started using them over time, but the other thing I'm thinking about potentially doing is a Nostromo, which is for your left hand. And it's a sort of like a series of keys and a couple thumb controls and buttons that you use instead of a keyboard, and you bind your abilities to the Nostromo. So you use a mouse in your right and sort of this keypad control for your left. And that's how you control your universe.
I have actually tried one of those, not the Nostromo one, but the Logitech has a version of that idea. Mm-hmm. And I went back to my keyboard. I have the keyboard with the macro keys on the left. So I actually do a similar thing, but that layout is just more comfortable for me instead of having all the buttons right under your hand. So some of them are even under like the fleshy part of your palm. It's like, what am I supposed to do with those?
You extend your interior tendon.
I think I'm exaggerating a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't get used to it. I went back to my keyboard, which I love. I have a spare one in case this one breaks, so that I don't have to like go out in the middle of the night to Best Buy and get a new keyboard and find that they don't even have, you know, my brand, my style.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I bind the top 24 keys, that the F keys and the number keys all the way through dash and space or dash and equals to all my abilities and bars, and I always have two bars set up in every game I play, so I might have trouble with the Nostromo. There's a couple things just for Galactic Starfighter, since you have a much more limited set of abilities, that it might work better, but I don't really know about for the regular gameplay, because I do use all those abilities. I do use those 24 keys.
Yeah.
So you may be right. Regardless, we do have a tiny bit of news. Not much, but we do have a little
teeny,
bit.
Teeny, teeny tiny.
We appear to have suffered a brief technical fault. Taro, switch the feed.
So yes, news has been quiet over the holidays. But a couple things we heard about before, but I wanted to reinforce, that are coming up in January. We do expect the class reps to start up soon. They are going to be back on the forums starting in January and interacting with the community more, so keep an eye out for that. And we do know that Galactic Starfighter is opening to Preferred on January 14th. So that will be pretty soon. And we started to get worried in Galactic Starfighter in our various matches about when these Preferred people come in, are they just going to get slaughtered by the good people with the really upgraded ships? And I think some of them, and then are they going to quit and never want to play Galactic Starfighter? I think there is some small risk of that. Maybe not even so small. I think there is some risk of that. However, my son, who's in AIE, he plays as Zen for us in AIE and raids with us once in a while. He got in a match. He switched over to the Republic side for the first time. Brand new character. Got in a gunship. What did he do? Like 9 kills, 14 assists, and 40k damage in a completely unupgraded gunship that was the first time he ever sat in it. He's not the first time he ever played a gunship, but certainly the skill ramp up is much more important than all of the upgrades.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah. At least in the beginning.
And so people may be frustrated more just by the learning curve, but we all were when we started Galactic Starfighter. There is a steep learning curve. So that's a risk, but I think the risk of the damage and of all the upgrades that people will have over the new people isn't as big as it might seem. So I think
plus
that's
people
okay.
are saying that the matchmaking would be better with more people in the pool. So maybe they won't go up against you guys that have your ships all tricked out all the time.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Right. I hope so. That might be nice for them too. And then what? We have free access, completely free access by February. And we'll be getting things like the bomber coming soon. The only other thing I saw in terms of news, which isn't really news and is a little spoilery, but if you've been watching some of the various non-official forums, there has been a little data mining going on of some of the recent patches of what's in the game already. And we do know there is more Galactic Starfighter stuff coming. If you look in the data files, you can see some cool stuff. So I think we're going to see some nice enhancements and upgrades to Galactic Starfighter content and stuff coming in the cartel market. And I won't go too deep into that and what we're seeing yet, but I think we have a lot to look forward to as far as that goes.
Cool.
What about AIE news? I know we've got some.
Yes. As he looks at me. AIE news. Well, Sup, who's one of our raid teams, is moving their schedule around. So they're moving either to Tuesday or Wednesday, which is going to help them keep their roster full, since not everybody could make their time on Monday night. So if you were, you know, thinking you might want to run with Sup, but you couldn't make one Monday night, check it out, because Tuesday or Wednesday, there might be one or two openings still left on the team. And that just means that our Wednesday night 16-man stuff that we do, we'll just move it to another night.
Exactly. And anything that we have, anybody who's doing either our hard mode nights or our low-level flashpoint nights on Friday, if I'd really like our ops teams to have precedence and getting a good night to run and getting a cohesive team. So
right, because it's so much harder to schedule 8 people than it is to schedule 4 people, or, you know, do activities that don't even need a certain number. Yeah,
right.
I agree.
So we'll just have fun stuff for the other nights, and we'll fill in when we need to. So that'll be cool. And then I did hear some news. I heard some rumblings about people trying to start up some more regular Galactic Starfighter groups. Not like Machia is not running every night anyway. But it got to the point of trying to tossing around some names for our little squadron. And while Machia is really interested in the name Machia's Marauders, that was vetoed pretty quickly by the rest of the team. And I came up with Regulators of Fighter Logistics.
Raffle, yeah.
Which abbreviates down to ROFL, which fits with our Lords of Light, LOL, yes, and exactly. Team and all that. So I think that's a winner. And I think that's all we have for news.
That's a far better ROFL name than what we tried to come up with when we made our Imp Ops team. I don't remember what it was, but it was terrible.
Someone really wanted it to spell ROFL.
Yes, exactly.
Somebody really wanted it to spell SHIELD. We are going to do a Galactic Starfighter tip this week, though, too. We'll keep these up still for a little while.
Do a barrel roll!
I have two quick things this week for Galactic Starfighter. One, Teo of the Utini cast and Machia and I were chatting back and forth on Twitter today about a tool that the Utini guys and Teo in particular and another guy put together on their website with a little bit of JavaScript and a filter by abilities that show you all of the abilities that your crew members can give to you, active and passive. You pick Republic or Imperial, then you can hover over any ability and see which crew members, which companions give you that ability. And then you can actually click them off and it will give you a link with parameters in that link. So you could go back and look at that sort of build out of your four crew members and your whatever you're picking as your co-pilot and pick by ability rather than having to just randomly click crew members in your hangar display and see what abilities they give you.
That sounds really useful.
Yeah, and it's just a little thing, but it's nice and it works well. So you can find that on utinicast.com/crew-calculator or check in my Twitter stream and check the Utini guys and you'll find it. I think that's a good one. They did a nice job on that. The other thing I was going to mention, which not everybody realizes, and not very many people have done anything with yet, but I think we might see more, is UI customization. If you hit escape and go to the regular UI editor, in the middle of the UI editor display, there's a drop box that says main HUD. If you drop that little combo box, there's an option there for Galactic Starfighter, which will then bring up the layout of the movable components of the Galactic Starfighter interface. You can't move that center where your ship is, but everything around it you can move. You can move the mini map, the targeting computer, your power pools, the buffs on you, the buffs and debuffs on the enemy ship. So to give it a shot, I moved everything towards the center and to the top of the screen. I've got sort of a widescreen big monitor, and having things way down in the lower left and lower right and upper right just seemed a little non-optimal. So I squeezed everything towards the middle and moved it to the top and lined everything up. And it does give me a little easier ability to just glance up, move my eyes up a little bit rather than staring in the middle of the screen or having to practically move my head back and forth to look at all the different pieces of the heads up display. And I'm starting to like it. So give that a shot, try it out. And I think if you do find a layout that's pretty cool and working really well for you, that's relatively unique, send a link, because I tried to look for some on the internet and I couldn't find very many. I'd love to see what people are doing with it.
I'm kind of glad to hear that they do have that, because I had this sort of notion in the back of my mind that when they made the interface editor in the very beginning, and then when they made an update to it, they've made like one sort of major-ish update to it when they did the debuff sizing. I just have this picture that they have one guy who's really good at this interface editor, and they just... He's like a contractor, and they bring him on for like 2 weeks to do the interface editor. And so I was thinking, oh, we'll never see any changes to it. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah, hopefully they take it further. But even that alone as a start, until people start doing more with it, I'm glad that they at least have that much in so far. So
yeah.
Right. So now we move on to a look ahead. And we're going to be looking ahead, I think, for the next couple of weeks in some different ways, hopefully some interesting, fun ways. But we're going to start off right now as we move into the new year with some wild-ass predictions.
Through the Force, things you will see, other places, the future, the past, old friends long gone.
Yeah, Master Yoda, Seema and I, we see a bunch of wild-ass crazy stuff about Star Wars The Old Republic right now in our minds.
It is the future you see.
Dude, will this crazy-ass stuff come true?
Difficult to see. Always in motion is the future.
Wild.
I think he's telling us that, yes, they definitely will come true.
Totally. That's totally what he means right there. So Seema, what crazy wild-ass stuff do you see for the future?
All right. So my first wild-ass prediction is that we're going to see a time in 2014 when we'll be able to send all our companions out to craft or do missions from one character. So you can sit there and send out your companions from all your alts without going log out, log in, log out, log in, log out. And then in ops, Max will be clicking missions instead of doing his rotation because he'll be just sending missions out and getting the results.
You know it.
Yes. So that's my first prediction. My second wild ass prediction is that crafters will become able to make pets like droids, toys, the tiny ships, balloon type things. You know, like maybe the synth weavers can make balloons and the, armor mechs and arms techs can make the metal things and because they have the skills, right?
Arms techs will be able to make something really lame because that's all arms tech can do right now anyway. They can make like the log pet.
The log pet. It'll be a pipe.
Log. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
And yeah, there you go. But speaking of crafting, my third prediction is that we'll get a brand new skill. It's called husbandry. And anyone can learn it, even if you already have a crafting skill. And basically what you do is you send your companion off to tend to your flocks of bogwings and riftlurkers and bormu and whatever. And depending on how the missions go and how well you're feeding and caring for your herds, sometimes they bring you back a pet.
That sounds like a great idea.
I love it.
I didn't know about the name, husbandry. I guess it's better than breeder or so. So sure.
It is husbandry. Husbandry is caring for herds of animals. Okay.
Yeah, it's beast husbandry.
And then I sort of have a real, this is not a wild-ass prediction. It's more like a half-ass prediction, which is that we'll see the next X pack in April of 2015.
That's aggressive, but I like it.
2015.
Oh, 2015. I thought you were saying 2014.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I will revisit that when I talk about my predictions, but
I mean, it's a ways out.
Yeah. So 2015. Okay. So you are giving it even more runway than, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said 2014 at first. I'm like, no way, Seema.
No. But you know, I'm not saying that nothing will happen until then. I'm just saying for actual X-Pack with new levels and new planets and stuff, I'm going with April 2015. The future shall judge me wrong or right.
So and, just to push it, what's the X-Pack going to be based on?
Things with stuff. Fun. Well, actually, it's going to have this new skill called husbandry. No, anyone can learn it. Even if you already have a crafting skill. But yeah, more levels, more things to do, you know.
Sounds
and then
good.
I also put down a few things that I continue to long for. And a lot of them are things that people mention all the time anyway, but I'll just throw them out there. One is I would really like to see debuff indicators of some sort, or maybe all we really need to do at this point is just have more variety in how they look, because the exact same debuff can be something you can cleanse or something you can't cleanse. Not the same debuff, but I mean the same icon, or something that you can cleanse but you don't need to, or something that you can cleanse and if you don't, the tank is going to die.
Yeah.
And they can all be the same icon or this, and it's for the really bad ones in boss fights, you can remember them. But I would like a visual. It doesn't have to be powers, it doesn't have to be super configurable, but something. And I continue to want to search my inventory. I mean, this latest time it was getting me going was with the Gree event coming back. I knew I had some Gray Helix components on some of my characters from the last time we did Xeno. But, you know, I couldn't remember who had them. I'm logging in all these characters. And even when I logged them in, I have to go to my bank and just visually check for them. And I'm like, I know I searched them, but maybe I missed it or whatever. I try to put them in the same place in the bank all the time. So, and then little things like I'd like several things not to dismount me. Like I want to, like if I'm looting something, I just want to lean over and pick it up. I don't want to be dismounted. And I also want, this is kind of a wish list thing. I want to send my companion off to loot things too. I always wanted that. I don't want to walk over there myself. I just want, you know, Treak to go loot it while I'm running off to the next pull.
That's a great idea. The companion should do that. You'll make them, then make them sell the trash, which they already yes, do. Exactly. So go loot the trash and then sell it.
Yeah. And then come over here and tank for me.
do my bidding.
I would like to see also, and I bet we do see these, I guess this is a semi-prediction, achievements for Treak and HK. Like all the companions have achievements, like you get achievement points for maxing their affection, and you get achievement points for when you kill mobs with them as your companion, but Treak and HK don't have those.
So they should just
sling those in, yeah.
Great. Well, I like those. I think that next axe pack. That's not one of my wild ass predictions, but I thought you said April 2014, and I was thinking at best fall is what I was thinking for a next major expansion, because we haven't heard anything yet. It's going to be quite a while. I've seen on the forums people are clamoring for Kashyyyk to be the. the next planet, the next expansion. I think that would be hilarious, but I think we got Life Day. I think we should be happy with Wookiee-ness for now and just let that ride for a little bit.
If we do get a new planet, if we get new planets, especially ones where there's a lot of quests like there was on Makeb, I really want it to be people who can speak, you know, human sounding words in my ears instead of Wookiee talk.
Galactic standard or whatever the.
Yeah. English. English, basically. Yeah. I mean, and I don't mean that in a judgmental way. It's just that it's a lot of just listening to syllables. If every NPC is a Wookiee.
These damn aliens should speak the Queen's English.
Yes. Exactly.
I completely agree. Cheers. Hip, hip.
See, the reason I pick April 2015 is because I am using the max system of managing my expectations. So,
good plan.
Yes, that is 2 years from having Makeb, that when Makeb came out, which 2 years for, I don't know, 2 years for a major X-Pack is reasonable. I don't know that we're ever going to get Mists of Pandaria style X-Packs.
Right. I would rather not. I would rather get them more often.
I agree. And
smaller. I like what's been happening. But yes, I like your thinking. I like the cut of your jib. Your ideas intrigue me. I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter.
BioWare can surprise me by coming in sooner if they like.
That's right. They sure can. And then You will exceed my expectations. Do you see how that works, developers?
Yes, I do. You indeed, I do.
Which they totally did with Galactus Starfighter, and I'm having a blast.
Yes, they did.
The Machia is going off the deep end. You've created a monster.
The Machia monster.
So my wild-ass prediction number one, biochems. We've brainstormed on this before. Biochems will be given the ability to mix drinks. Drink schematics will be made available, and they'll be able to set up a bar in a group, in any group, at the start of a flashpoint or an operation. You can set up a bar, and anybody can come up to the bar and get a drink that acts as the appropriate stim to their role in main stat. They have this in other games, if you've ever had it in WoW. They have cauldrons, which you get basically your flask, which is your two-hour stim out of it. So yeah, I'll be able to be a bartender, and I'll mix the drinks and get your Corellian cocktail, which boosts your agility for 2 hours and
agility.
But
you mentioned
the cocktails decrease agility. See what I'm doing? Reflex.
I know. We mentioned WoW, and we're
I've
we're suddenly our brains
I've
are
devolved.
Back there. Yes, I'm picturing this like a little half circle of a bar, and behind it is like a protocol droid, and he's dressed in a little, you know, tuxedo, and he's wiping the counter, you know, with a white towel.
Okay.
You know, buffing the counter.
Right now, before the podcast goes out, I'm going to try to get Isaac of the Love Boat Legacy on every server. Done. Okay. Well, that's prediction number two. The next playable race, full-on droid. We've got cyborgs now, but full on droid. And when the armor sets come out, you actually swap out body parts, textures, and body types. You can look like 4X. You can look like one of those assault droids that roll into a ball in the Star Wars movies, or you can look like the bipedal humanoid droids. And each new armor set that comes out will basically change your body types. They sort of do it right now with those cyborg body.
Yes.
Body parts that come out, but you'll just be a full-on droid, and you can still snap in your augments and your mods and armorings, but you'll just be a droid. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yes, I like that.
You could also even look like an astromech, but I just warn you, I mean, just like putting it out there, if you do look
you
like an astromech,
don't get on Max's ship.
Yeah, I can't guarantee your safety once you're on board my ship. You know, it's just out of my hands. And into my escape pod, you know, whatever. So, wild-ass prediction number three, the SWTOR mobile application will be released, which will allow you to do all crew missions from the mobile application while you're in ops. This is all about me just making credits while I'm doing ops, isn't it? Mike will be so happy about that. It'll also have a Starfighter minigame that maybe will give you like little tiny bits of shipwreck and fleet wreck. And
this is just
of course,
your way of want, so you can play tiny Star Wars, tiny Death Star.
Yeah, which if you notice the last two podcasts, I haven't really been talking about. I've sort of put it on the shelf for now because I'm back in the credits game. Full on. Well, not full on, but at least in my spare time. And then finally, the mobile app will have, of course, full access to the cartel shop, which, you know, so, you know, that's their payoff, you know, that's the ka-ching. So they can make that happen and that's good for them. And my wild-ass prediction number four is an AIE prediction. Pellel, the guild leader of AIE, will be brought in on short-term contract to BioWare to consult on developing the amazing race as an actual in-game event that will be a recurring event for SWTOR.
Yes, I like it.
I think that would be a cool prediction for this year. And then my less wild, but potentially still as much ass in the predictions. I don't know. So my expansion, the soonest I thought would be the fall. I do foresee, and I think we already know this is coming, there'll be everything that we have in terms of content for Galactic Starfighter now times two or probably three. Three times the ships, three times the maps, three times the game types. I think we're going to be getting a lot of Galactic Starfighter for now, and I love it. I'm glad. I know not everybody's into it just yet, and I hope we're going to be getting more stuff too. And I know we are going to be getting some new stuff. We know the Rakkul event is coming in a new way and new reps and cool stuff like that. But I'm happy to see the Galactic Starfighter community.
I wonder when that's going to come.
When
predict that the Rakkul.
Yeah. Definitely before Groundhog, maybe between Groundhog Day and the Ides of March.
There you go.
I just pull out random mouse sounds. I could see in January sometime. Because there's a lull and things get boring, and we know they've got it in the hopper, as they say. So I don't know who says that anymore, but they've got it in the hopper. And my last one, long shot, but tied into all of this, I'd love to see guild ships before the end of the year. I think that would be very cool. So I know they've talked about that on and off, but get us some guild ships, and I think that would make a lot of people happy and add to the social aspect of the game that I think is important.
And, I mean, one of the things they say is that it's hard, really, really hard to customize our ships because there's so many quest hooks in them. So if they made guild ships with, you know, little to no quest hooks in them, then maybe we could also, as a guild, buy customizations for it.
That would be great. And I would put it on the cartel shop. That would be cool to have a guild ship, and we drop trophies, and as the guild gets achievements or people get achievements,
they can. Yeah. We have a lamp with like that, a plastic, you know, leg.
I love lamp.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking a nice lamp. I wasn't like thinking like the head of a Rancor hanging on the wall. I was thinking a nice sofa.
Yeah, exactly.
we're you know, you and me, we're right on the same page on this, Seema. Let's get to work. Well, we need both sides, right? You need the comfort, and then you need like the bloody head of a Rancor.
Yeah,
hope it's balance. Okay, well, I think that's good for some wild ass stuff. I'm liking this, and I'm thinking our jokes were getting a little tired. I'm thinking we might be dropping in a little more wild ass rumors and predictions the rest of the year as part of our extra little nugget in the show notes. So keep an eye out for that.
Will do.
But as far as this episode 19 and the finish off of 2013, I think we are ready to go. Our little EPC 19 droid here is all filled up. So thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESEMA, or drop in on Jedi Covenant and ask us for an invite. Our character names are in the show notes. For AIE Guild information, you can visit AIE-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google+ at AIE SWOTOR. We will talk to you soon.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, Brun Mark. Happy New Year, Drake. Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.